The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
To our version of summer here on America Tonight. Yeah, do you believe it? Officially, we are into summer. But some people are reporting that temperatures still aren't where they really should be. I'll tell you where temperatures are high. In Iraq. And ask anybody if you want to see them get hot instantaneously about the situation at the border in this country. And they'll explode, especially if they live in Texas. In Texas, near the border, the more porous areas anyway. So what's happening in Iraq? We're going to start there because, you know, now we're sending military over. We're sending some special forces. 300 could be more than 300. They say that morale is very low as a lot of the Sunni militants are distributing Qurans all over the towns that they've taken over, and in some of the places where they're moving forward, like Tikrit is one of them. The whole idea is to push and pump Sharia law. So what a spillover this has turned into. What a nightmare this has turned into for the United States. Because frankly, we were there and spilled our blood, our treasure, our guts, everything into it. Left, and then here we go. Look at the situation that we're now scrambling to figure out. And the Secretary of State, Kerry, could be considered to be jumbled up as he tries to shore up the, you know, what's happening in the Middle East and the state of Iraq and where we stand. And he warns that there could be more problems that will swing out of what we're seeing in Iraq with this terrorist group, the ISIS. He landed in Cairo on Sunday afternoon. There was massive security around him, of course. And you've got Nouri al-Maliki as the prime minister who's trying to push whatever, help push whatever this political change is going to be, because how does the Iraqi state survive? And then I think to myself, well, why are we involved in this in the first place? How did this little piece of a country that was made up on the map and redrawn, how did we end up in a situation where we became the savior that trained, did what we could, had a timetable, maybe we shouldn't have said that timetable, but put the timetable out, and then left. But all the while behind the scenes, the ISIS was really making their move. They were making the moves to try to jump and grab Mosul and Tikrit and some other places for a while, for years. So the pressure's on Maliki. This is your government, baby. Get it together. I mean, how much leaning can they do on the United States? How many other places can we involve ourselves? And pushing to have an inclusive government of the Shias and the Sunnis and the Kurds is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Not to be negative, but we saw this when this war first unfolded. You're not going to break off that hatred, those thousands of years where that's been bubbling up. And there's been massive funding, massive support that's gone into this extremist group. So now they have the most dollars flowing all over the place. And what does it mean? What can they do? Well, they have a wild illegal operation where they're handing out the Quran, where they're pushing Sharia law. They've been kidnapping people. They've done that for a while. And it's not just in Iraq, it's in Syria too. And they are looting and killing and maiming and doing whatever they feel like doing wherever they go. So I think you get it. They are nasty bit of... It's a nasty piece of business, and it's a brutal group. So now the Americans and the Iraqis are trying to hammer out a legal agreement. That's what they say. It's a legal agreement that they have to have where now it's roughly 500 service personnel is what they're calling them, that the president has announced he's dispatching to Iraq can freely operate because they have to be able to do what they can do. So what is it they can do? They have to agree upon that. So while that's happening and more agreements are being drawn up, more horrible things are happening in these cities in Iraq as they get closer and closer to Baghdad. And depending on who you talk to, oh, the ISIS are not that bad. But then you talk to somebody else who's been in the Middle East for a while, and they say, are you kidding? With the amount of money they have, they are converting people right and left. They are trying to cleanse Christianity out of that place. Because this is their mantra. This is their goal. This is why they were formed. This is what it's about. And some Americans are fighting alongside this group. You have Americans, Somali Americans, certainly not all, but some, who have left their state, have left Minnesota to fight in that group, to fight alongside them, and they have come from other parts of the United States too. And this is, you know, now here we are. Is everything on the table? It sounds like it. Should everything be on the table? When do we decide too far is too far? Enough is enough. I thought we decided that already. And now we're going deeper in and we're making legal agreements. How long do these 500 stay? What happens if something happens to one of those 500 or more? What happens then? Can they engage? What are the rules of engagement? Can they engage in fighting? Because supposedly it was supposed to be strategic based. Whew. Coming up on America Tonight, we'll talk about the problem with the illegal immigrants flooding into California and Texas and what they're trying to do, and the deportations, and how the White House is saying they promise they're going to get faster. Also, you might have gotten involved in the World Cup. What happened with the USA and Portugal? And why is it significant, and what does it mean for the U.S.'s chances of advancing in the tournament? They still have a chance. I'll just say that. They still have a chance. Also, coming up, there's a big United Nations Day. Thanks to our pals at Talk Radio News, we chatted with a few people. One is a translator who has some interesting things to say about what has to be translated for the UN and the requests to have things translated. And the other guest that we have on is going to talk about climate change and the push at the UN for Paris 2015 and what would become a legally binding agreement between a lot of countries. That's coming up next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the no-no, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible no-no hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and all those nooks and crannies out there, we have from the UN, Lamine Bao, Translations Manager for the UNDP. Lamine, I'm sure that people that are listening to this are saying, wow, what does that mean? Explain what a translation manager does.
A translations manager is a one-man translation company or agency, if you will. He coordinates translations requests into our working languages for UNDP. Our working languages are French and Spanish and occasionally Arabic and Russian and more Chinese these days. I field requests from the administrator's office and the communications office, and we get all types of documents translated into those languages, whether annual reports, the administrator's speech, speeches, press releases, web stories, and so on and so forth.
So do you, obviously you've got a staff, but of those languages you mentioned, more requests for Chinese, French, Spanish, that kind of thing, the common ones. Do you speak those languages? Are you fluent in all of that?
I do speak French and Spanish and Fulani. Chinese is picking up slowly these days, I mean slowly but surely, because Chinese is increasingly important. But our main languages are French and Spanish. And just one more thing. I do not have staff, and it's a one-man translation unit. The help that I get from interns.
Wow. So you rely on those interns, I bet, if you have so many documents. And when you say things that you're translating, it's what's going on at the UN, correct?
It's basically what we do as in the communications office. It's what we publish, what we put on our corporate site. human interest stories, press releases, daily events, news briefs, and also corporate products like the Annual Report, the Development Advocate, targeted publications for our donors.
What's been the, I'm sure in the time they've done this, what's been the most challenging thing that you've had to tackle?
Last-minute requests, in times of, I wouldn't say crises, but I remember vividly a couple of years ago there was been a bombing in Abuja, the UN headquarters in Abuja, Nigeria. We had to put out a couple of statements really, really fast, and we had to summon some resources and get it cleared and translated and put on the site. So those are really the most challenging tasks that I can get as translations manager, get things done very fast and efficiently.
What set you up to get a position like this? How did you, what was your path, in other words, to getting into the UN?
I was in the private sector here in New York City. I've been in the private sector for more than 10 years, and I joined UNDP 5 years ago. I was doing pretty much the same thing, translation and publishing, in translation and publishing, doing project management and translation. And I applied for a job here with the UN, and I ended up here. I don't know if it was written in stars, but it's how I ended up here. I never thought I would work for the UN.
Yeah, interesting. When you, as you said, you never thought you'd work for the UN, in making that transition from the private sector to the UN, what's the coolest thing about your job?
The coolest thing about my job is getting to know people from various countries. It's a huge machine. It's not an easy proposition to get people from Africa, Asia, Europe, the Americas to get them to work together. And the coolest thing is when it actually works. It's not always easy, but the coolest thing is that you end up being wiser about people and the way they work.
Yeah. You said that you're getting more and more requests for Chinese, and you talk about French and Spanish being common. Do you see other languages? What are some of the other languages that we might not even think about that you might get an errant request for that you have to kind of figure out?
Well, Portuguese these days, because of the importance of Brazil, the rise of Brazil, we do get requests every now and then into Brazilian Portuguese. But as far as weird requests, the most weird in the sense of weird languages, I think the most it would have to be in the language from Asia. I think we once did a translation into first small Southeast Asian language. I don't quite remember which one, but this is really the most unusual request that we've received.
Yeah, boy. And in a typical day, how much are you processing?
On a typical day, about 10 translation requests, I guess. 5 to 10, I would say. We translate 500,000 words at our office annually. At UNDP level headquarters and in all our countries, I would say tens of millions. But it's hard to to gauge that precisely. We'd like to conduct a survey and get a better sense of how many words we translate. But it's huge in terms of number. I think we do compare favorably with the rest of the UN organizations or partner organizations like the World Bank. We must do anywhere between 10 and 20 million words a year, UNDP level.
Wow, 500,000. I'm still thinking about that number. That's crazy. And so it would be interesting to see, like you said, if you did a survey, how much that comes down to. So it must mean that you're pretty busy. You're not taking a lot of time off, I can imagine.
It's a busy job. And really, if you like a slow-paced job, you need not apply. But it has its ups and downs. It's the same in the private sector. Translation is really fast-paced. You have to be quick on your toes. You have to summon the right resources very fast and get the ball rolling.
We're speaking with Lamine Bao from the United Nations. He's the translations manager, UNDP. And do you see that I don't even know how many languages there is out there. I did a speech one time on it, and we couldn't nail down because of all the different tribes in Africa, et cetera, and breaking down different dialects. I mean, how many languages, for goodness sake, are there in the world? I don't know.
Don't quote me on that. I think probably 2,000 living languages, a third of which are from Africa.
Wow.
Definitely a third of all the languages spoken in the world are in Africa. But a lot of them are dying off because of people, not the last speakers, dying at an increasing pace every day. But as far as the UN, we have our six official languages, which are English, French, Spanish, Russian, Arabic, and Chinese, simplified.
Yeah, the six official languages, you talk about in Africa, the various languages they have. I would imagine that you get requests from Africa because of, again, distance, wanting to know, wanting to keep up with what's going on with the UN. Do you get a lot of requests in that direction?
We do. As far as UNDP, we get a lot of requests. UNDP work is very present in Africa, but most of the work done is done either in French or Arabic or Portuguese, which are the languages that were inherited from colonization.
Do you ever get the chance to go out in the field?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I hope someday I will. I'm still a relative newbie. I'm fairly recent to the UN. I've only been here 5 years.
Well, 5 years, a newbie at 5 years. So when you sit down and you translate, I just have in my mind, I know people that go to Google and they start looking up the translation. Is there something that you use to help you with the tougher translations?
Well, translation, for one thing, translation is outsourced. Nothing is done in-house. We rely on our freelance translators and our translation companies. We have about 40 translators freelance scattered around the world and 20 translation companies who do the work for us. We do reviewing, editing, quality control in-house.
So you get the documents.
Go ahead.
You get the documents back and you got to go through them. I was going to say that there's no way, when you said you were doing it yourself with interns, there's no way you could do that. That would be too much. So with the 40 different organizations, you bring it back in, you edit it, you make sure it sounds correct for what it's supposed to be. And then on the six common languages, some of that you probably do on your own, though.
Every now and then, yeah, you can feel a small request. A half a page document, it's always good to translate. I was trained as a translator as well, so it's always good to translate every now and then. It helps you kids stay sharp.
What was the most complex thing you can remember doing?
At UNDP?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, here as a translations manager?
As a translator, the most complex.
Probably translating the administrator's speech, because it's very dense, it's very jargony, it's very, some words require extensive knowledge of UNDP jargon, some are politically sensitive, so it's probably the highest note you could hit as a translator, either for the UN or for an international organization.
Interesting. All right, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor. And a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. With us from the UN, Dan Thomas, UN's Secretary General spokesperson on climate change. And certainly there's been a lot of movement in that area. Dan, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Dan, tell us, first of all, your reaction to what recently happened with the EPA and the proposals about knocking down the carbon emissions when we're talking about power plants, to ultimately knocking it down 30%. As you know, there's been a lot of tug of war over that, but the president saying that if we were going to walk the walk, we had to talk the talk, and this was so necessary. Right now, it's at the tail end of the EPA comments, and obviously, in looking from a world point of view, this has some rippling effects. So your reaction to that?
Well, here at the United Nations, we're absolutely delighted by President Obama's stance on climate change. We're delighted because we're really trying to get all of the world leaders to step up to the plate on climate change and to raise the level of ambition for their nations in addressing the climate challenge. President Obama has done that. This is, frankly, from the United States, you know, long overdue. And here we have a president who's stepping up to the plate, who's willing to really take a long-term view of climate change and suggest the kind of actions that can reduce carbon emissions and lead not only the United States but also the whole world into a more sustainable, cleaner, better future.
Along those lines, who do you see as the biggest offenders, we'll say country-wise? Because one of the things that's talked about is what's going on in China and what's going on in India. Is the hope that you can spread that message to both of those countries and start to see them join in and look at reductions?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely right. I mean, this is something that all countries need to address, not just the United States, obviously. And in fact, China's taken over the U.S. as the biggest polluter in the world. India is getting up there with them. So, we'll probably increase its emissions in the future. So this is very much a shared problem. And you know, here at the United Nations, we're trying to find, solutions for global things like climate change. So this is a very difficult issue. It's difficult for every country to reduce carbon emissions. But the leadership that the United States and President Obama is showing on climate action is very, very useful, because what it does is it shows leadership to the other countries. And one thing that we're trying to do actually in September this year is that the United Nations Secretary General has called all nations, all leaders, to a summit on the 23rd of September, a climate summit. And we are hoping that the presidents of all these countries, including our host nation, the United States, will come here with bold, ambitious statements rooted in actions that they're already taken to address climate change. And with this day, we can basically get all of the countries around the world, the biggest polluters and also the smallest polluters, to show that they're taking action, because everybody has to play their role in reducing pollution and global warming. This is something that's cross borders. This is not just you don't just feel the effects of what you do in your nation. It's spread across borders. So we need all countries to step up to the plate. And we're very delighted that the United States is showing leadership in this area.
Dan, what do you do when you encounter? Because you know that obviously the as I said at the beginning, when you talk about climate change, it's such a political issue. From your point of view in trying to spread the word and trying to show statistics and that kind of stuff, what's your biggest obstacles publicity-wise in trying to do that? What do you run into those walls where people say, well, listen, there's a lot of scientists that will say the opposite, and I can give you this proof, and we can talk about that. How do you counterattack that?
Well, we think we're beyond the moment where people are actually questioning the science of man-made climate change. I mean, something like 97% of the world scientists have agreed and studied and really agreed that climate change is man-made. Things are getting worse. The future is looking worse and worse for our planet. And, unless we really knuckle down and address some of the things that are causing that global warming, then, our planet, future generations are in serious trouble. So we feel that we can move beyond that. I mean, there's been a lot of debate in the media about, whether it's a question of, on one side, people say there's climate change and global warming, but on the other, this is a question. In fact, in a fair way, there's overwhelming evidence that this is man-made and that we need to address it. I mean, if you went to the doctor or if you went to 97 doctors and they all told you had a disease, would you really need a second opinion or a second or third or fourth opinion? I mean, at some stage, you've got to accept the overwhelming scientific evidence. So we feel we've moved beyond that. But what is more of a challenge is the idea that, that there will be no gain without some pain. So clearly, a lot of leaders, national leaders, are very concerned about addressing the climate challenge. Because, clearly there are people who are worried about jobs, they're worried about, what it means for them. And clearly, there is going to be some pain in getting to a more sustainable way of living. But that is a path that all leaders will have to lead their people towards, because without everybody buying into this, then clearly we're not going to get very far. And future generations are going to be in serious trouble. And I think the one thing that is sort of, I suppose, playing into this debate is that ordinary people who have, living in the richest countries of the world, like the United States, up until now, they haven't really been that affected by climate change. It's been something that's been happening to other people who live on small islands in the Pacific or people who live in very poor countries where, you know, they're seeing sort of terrible droughts as a result of the way the planet is changing and global warming. And their animals are starving and they're having to move around to look for grazing, and, you know, it's causing them all sorts of problems. It hasn't really affected people who live in the richest nations. But that's changing too. I mean, you know, in the United States, even in a city like New York, you know, with Hurricane Sandy, and, you know, we've seen, you know, huge sort of effects. I mean, whether these things are sort of directly related to climate change, you know, the debate, I suppose, is a bit out on that. But, you know, we are beginning to feel those effects. And, you know, people are getting scared. They're seeing it themselves. They're scared for their own futures, their own communities. And they're beginning to realize that this is a problem. It's coming home to roost. And that we all have a common responsibility to find ways to tackle this challenge.
We're speaking with Dan Thomas, and we're talking about, he's the UN Secretary General's spokesperson on climate change. We're talking about it. Dan, you talk about the importance of this big summit in September and the solutions for reduction on climate change. What are some of the things that you'll specifically be talking about as far as solutions?
Well, we've invited all of the leaders of 193 member countries of the United Nations to come to New York on the 23rd of September to this major climate summit. It's being hosted by the UN Secretary General. It's not technically part of the negotiation process on climate change, which has been going on for many years. This is a standalone summit. And the idea is to really raise the level of political ambition, because the world needs to reach an agreement on climate change. That will happen as part of the negotiations, hopefully in Paris at the end of 2015. That's where world leaders will sign a legally binding document, a meaningful agreement on how every nation in the world will have to basically reduce their carbon emissions and sign up to legally agreed and commonly agreed targets on carbon emissions. This is something different. This is about political ambition and leadership. And we're hoping that all the world's leaders will come, including the presidents of the United States, the president of China, the president of India, you know, all of the big polluters in this world, and that they will come. They will make statements about their nation's vision towards addressing climate change and embracing a new path to a sustainable future. And it won't just be a talking shop. This is where they will announce the actions that are already being taken to address climate change. And it won't be only the heads of government and heads of state. It will also be the heads of some of the world's leading corporations as well, and civil society organizations, who will similarly be coming to the UN on that day, the 23rd of September, to talk about what they are doing, what their industries are doing. The mayors of thousands of cities will be coming here to talk about how cities are paving the way to more sustainable ways of living. Cities are particularly affected by climate change. Many of them are very close to water and the sea, and like New York, and have to find ways of addressing global warming. So we feel it's going to be a very, very exciting day for the world, because at this summit, the level of political ambition will hopefully be raised. There's many people in the world who want to see this happen. And once we can create that new change in the air, that new sort of level of understanding about the what needs to happen, and the desire to actually tackle this, grasp the nettle and tackle this issue head on, then we feel that we can take the world into some legal agreements, some binding agreements, and lead us commonly, all nations, towards a more sustainable future for our children, our grandchildren, future generations. Literally, this is the defining issue of our time. The world is at stake. The future of the planet is at stake. These are big issues, and the United Nations is the place where they can be talked about, agreed upon, and addressed.
Dan Thomas, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Back in by Veloso. Oh, it's a miscue to Nani! Oh, my goodness me! The USA press the self-destruct button there. Catastrophe in the U.S. defense. Here comes the corner. It wouldn't drop to a white shirt. Now it has. Jones. Oh, yes! Jermaine Jones! What a cracker from him! USA level!
Cabezazo defensivo. La pelota se va escurriendo hasta que llegan los botines de JJJ. Con la derecha!
Only Dempsey to aim up, really, nearly got to him. He has got to Bradley. And then Soucy, and Dempsey is the offside. He is. It's 2-1 to the US. Can they do something here? It's Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, it's a great cross. And it is an equaliser from Pereira. USA. Yeah. to say, this is a terrific goal.
Ah, Portugal! Cristiano Ronaldo with that cross, the great equalizer, as you heard the call there. So well done, Matt Johnson, those highlights, and then ultimately the blow, the 2-2 draw with Portugal. Now what for the U.S.? Matt, what a match that was. I know that I was just glued to every moment of it. There were still some amazing things that happened, I think, for the U.S. in that game. Unfortunately, they have to be a little bit upset that they let it slip away, because they could have popped into the 16 if they had just held on for that victory. But still, I think, like I said, there's some highlights they can take from it, and the U.S. could still advance, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's disappointing they didn't get the win. We talked about that earlier, but there was some really good things happening. Oh. Yeah, I saw a lot of good chances. Even with Altidore out, they're playing without their best forward. You move Dempsey up into the high attack position. He had a number of great runs. He ended up with the goal when it was kind of kicked around the box a little bit, and he ends up right by the goal with it. And he didn't even, I don't even know how to describe how he put the ball in, because it's not like he kicked it or headed it in. He almost just like hit it in with his stomach.
Yeah, but his body.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that Jermaine Jones goal, the one to tie it.
The best.
That was amazing. And then you heard the guy from Univision who does the, I can't remember his name, but he does the calls for the U.S. on Univision, the Spanish sports station here in the United States. He dropped the OMG bomb on the goal, and you know when he's that excited, you know you did something well.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. I mean, it just goes to show you, too. And somebody asked me this. How do they determine how many minutes they add at the end? And those added minutes, of course, ended up being very costly for the United States. But, you see this in every match. So from the very beginning, if you looked at it, not in the first 5 minutes, but from probably the 10th, 11th minute or so to the 80th minute, the U.S. just outpassed Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo was offside so many times, it was unbelievable, especially deep into that game. And so it was interesting that he had the cross that ended up with the win, with the incredible pass. But they almost pulled this off, almost did it. And it's too bad, but there still was a lot of highlights that you could take from that. And there's some things that they need to do. But I think Jermaine Jones is exciting to watch. He, again, the midfield anchor, he was great in that spot. He's awesome on the ball. He beats players with his passing and with the dribble. It's really fun to watch him, I think. And it's interesting because if you look back and you read things about him, they would call him erratic and they would criticize him for really yellow cards, disciplinary record, that kind of thing. But he was pretty fun to watch, I would say, in that matchup. Again, he was great. He intercepted a couple of passes. He picked up some loose balls. He just did some of the things that you need to do to win in these World Cup games, frankly. And the World Cup overall has been pretty interesting. I think some unpredictable things have happened. So who says that the U.S. can't beat Germany or end up with a tie with Germany? Who knows? It's unfortunate, like I said, that they didn't get the win, but they still walk away with the tie. And you look at Group G and really the whole setup. And heading into this, people were not really giving the United States a lot of chances and a lot of credit. And I think so far they've been pretty exciting, I'd have to say, to watch, without a doubt. All right, as we close in here in the final moments of this hour of America tonight, there's no doubt that the tug of war in Iraq, it remains on everyone's mind, and also what's happening here at home, as I said, the immigration problem, and that has taken over lots of the water cooler conversation, I think, across America, not just along the border. And what happens as we head into yet another week, a crazy thing happened. The Border Patrol had an idea that they were going to fly the
illegal immigrants that they were being overrun with to California. Like, okay, well, maybe this is the way we'll solve this. We'll take them from South Texas to Cali and process them there. But now they decided, yeah, maybe this isn't the right thing to do. They had these ideas of having flights to San Diego and El Centro. They thought they had more planning and processing that could happen instead of having them stuck where they were. But apparently, whatever that was, they were talking about they were going to have two flights with 140 passengers on the flights, and they were going to do them for 3 days or so. And, you know, here's the thing. It's the economy. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. So you look at California now, you're going to shove that burden on them, throw more financial problems onto an already crippled state. I mean, really, that's what's going on. So instead of deporting and processing, because it's become impossible, they just fly these people that are in the country illegally around the country? Are you kidding me? I mean, how crazy is that? And who's paying for the flights? I mean, this isn't even a soapbox, because it's so easy. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, or whatever you call yourself. I mean, do you not think that's ridiculous? Open your wallet and see how you feel about paying for these flights. I mean, we're not talking about some unbelievable situation where there's no choice. We're talking about a massive problem, a humanitarian crisis, where this is the last-ditch effort, that the only thing we can do is pay for more flights. I mean, we're caught millions of dollars every single day just flying out the window, but with no great solution, by the way. So it's not like, okay, we're putting people on these planes, this is the solution, yes, we're going through this process, but here's the payoff at the end. No, because we don't even have that. This is a nightmare. Did anybody think about this when all of this was coming together, this plan was coming together? So the White House is saying, look, we're going to have faster ways to deport. But what are the faster ways? Beam me up? Is there something we don't know that's going on? Now they're talking about they got to open a new detention center. It's the only thing that they can do. And they're going to do this in New Mexico, because that they could have a big center there, and they think they could process people faster, and that it would be more humane, and you could go through the legal requirements and jump through those hoops. Oh, man. I mean, if you're not sour on this situation now, I don't know what it'll take, because I just think it's outrageous. The attempts so far have been so, so lame. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me, americatonight.net.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.